A couple of weeks ago on the show, we talked about some new research into the so-called Green Sahara period and how rainy it was between 8,000 and 11,000 years ago there. Jessica Tierney, an associate professor of geoscience at the University of Arizona and lead author of a new paper on the Green Sahara, told us about what she'd found.
So we found that, you know, today it rains about 2 inches a year in the Sahara. So for reference, that's much less rain than even the Mojave Desert gets. So the Mojave Desert gives about 5 inches. So about half that. And then during the Green Sahara time, as we call it, it was actually raining up to 2 feet a year.
Wow.
That's comparable to rainfall in San Francisco. So that is a really, really large change.
Well, it turns out another researcher has been looking at some of the reasons why monsoon activity lessened, helping turn the Sahara into the sand dune-covered landscape we know today. David Wright is an associate professor at Seoul University in South Korea, and he joins me. So, David, some of your research expands on why the monsoons that made the Sahara green lost their strength and helped turn it brown?
That's right. I recently published a paper that hypothesized, there's no definitive proof at this point, but it hypothesized that humans, by their actions in introducing domesticated animals into northern Africa, became agents of devegetation, or at least changing the vegetation structure in the Sahara, at the same time that the Sahara was just naturally drying out because of changes in the wobbling of the Earth relative to the orbit of the sun. There were also some human effects that devegetated portions of the landscape, changed the vegetation structure from a grassland into a scrubland community, and that in turn affected the rate of transpiration, or when plants give off moisture, and that difference in transpiration affected the ability of the monsoons to penetrate inland over vast areas of the Sahara Desert.
When you're talking about the devegetation, is that a matter of animals grazing and the grasses just not regrowing?
Well, it's partly an effect of the grazing patterns, but it's also largely due to the fact that humans for many, many thousands, if not millions of years, have burned the landscape. And when humans were agents of burning prior to the introduction of domesticated animals, then the landscape would just regenerate on its own, or if there was an accidental fire or something like that, like lightning would cause a fire. But the difference is when you introduce domesticated animals to a landscape, that effectively humans would steer them to the young grasses that are coming up on a burned landscape, which are really succulent for domesticated animals. But when those get grazed off, that basically what's left behind are the scrubland vegetation, like that don't give off as much, they don't transpire as much as grasses or other types of trees do.
So is there anything from that time and what happened with human activity and the domesticated animals in that part of the world, is there anything from that we can take to sort of predict what's going on or what might go on in the deserts of Arizona, the Sonoran Desert?
Oh, absolutely. In the context of the paper that I recently published, I discussed the context in North America, and particularly the desert southwest, and we have a pretty long historical record of precipitation in the southwest of the United States, and also pretty good understanding of changing vegetation structures. When Euro-Americans introduced domesticated livestock into the arid and semi-arid southwest, there was a really radical and rapid transition into a scrubland state, from grasslands into scrubland states. Now, it was already dry, and there was a lot of mesquite and junipers around before, but effectively, when domesticated animals entered the landscape of South Arizona, southern Arizona, and Utah and New Mexico, the change in the vegetation structure was very similar to where we see the advance of scrublands. And roughly at the same time, you also see a decrease in the monsoons that are able to penetrate the North American monsoon, which comes up from Mexico, that over the long term, you know, from the 1880s, which is effectively when the records started, over the long term, we see a pretty significant decrease in the amount of precipitation that has reached the southwest of the United States.
Well, so given the fact that the desert southwest is home to, you know, one of the top 5 or 6 biggest cities in the country, lots of people live here, there's a lot of grazing going on in different parts of the state, would it be fair to assume that as time goes on, and presumably those activities and that population growth will continue to grow, should we expect there to be less and less strong monsoon activity going forward?
That would be the assumption that we should take from the historic and the prehistoric record. If we take the example of the Green Sahara period, if what we see is that the effects will tend to cascade, and that small changes that begin, I mean, there weren't that many people living in the Sahara 8,000 years ago, but amplified over time, and as these small structural changes in vegetation start to take root, that basically scrublands generate scrublands, and it tends to advance outward. The more scrublands you get, the less transpiration you get, the less effective the monsoons are going to be, and the less effective the monsoons are, then the less precipitation that we're going to experience in the Southwest.
Can you imagine a scenario under which the Sonoran Desert, you know, Arizona, would at some point in the either, you know, probably not the near term, but at some point in the future, look like the Sahara looks like now, with its just sand dunes and not, you know, a major metropolitan area like it is now?
Oh, absolutely. If you wind the clock forward, and if at the rate of development and the lack of care, the way in which we're sapping resources, the way in which resources are being depleted, the rate of development, the grazing, the agriculture, if you continue to sap the ecosystem, ultimately the ecosystem will bite back at you. And this is the lesson that we see from the Sahara Desert, is if we're going to explore the idea that humans were devegetating agents, and that in a natural climate cycle that humans can amplify natural effects and make it even worse, that you can easily envision a scenario where southern Arizona becomes an ecosystem very much like the Sahara is today.
David Wright is an associate professor at Seoul University in the Department of Archaeology and Art History. We'll post a link to his paper, which was published in the journal Frontiers in Earth Science, at theshow.kjzz.org.